Good morning, church. You may be seated. Happy Easter. I was expecting a little greater response. Happy Easter. Our Savior lives. Amen. Man, you know there's a lot of people in here when people have to sit on the row in which the pastor sits on before a service. Like, you know there's a lot of people. So thank you for being with us this morning as we tried to get everyone seated. I hope you found a spot and are excited to worship our risen Savior this morning. My name is Luke, one of the pastors here. I just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here on a very special Sunday. You know, Friday, the world was dark. The Savior died. All hope was lost. Saturday, it was silent. It seemed as if God had abandoned the world. Hope had died, and hope was lost. But Sunday's here. Amen. Sunday's here, and Jesus lives. Easter, wonderful Sunday. Big Sunday for Christianity. It's when we celebrate that our God came in human form, Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross. But here's the deciding factor in Christianity. If Jesus would have just lived a perfect life, done some cool things, said some cool things, died on the cross, and stayed in the grave, he would just be a normal guy that said some cool things and did some cool things. But Jesus came out of the grave, church. And because Jesus came out of the grave, that's what set him apart. That's what brings validation to his life. That's what makes him God. And today we celebrate that our Savior lives. There's no question. Easter Sunday is a very important day, one that we love to celebrate. But today what I want to do is give purpose to the empty grave. Why did there have to be an empty grave? Why did Jesus have to come? Why did he have to live perfectly? Why did he have to die on the cross? And why did he have to come out of that grave? The grave, church, is empty for you and me. He died and he rose for you and me. So what I want to do on this Easter Sunday is to make the grave really relational. Like, what's that all about? Why is the grave empty? And who's that for? I know it was for me at 13 years old. Is it for you? Have you trusted in him? I want to make the grave relational. I want to bring purpose to it. And to do that, I want to share, in my opinion, we can look at the Word of God and we can see a lot of stories in there of God's sovereign grace. We can go cover to cover and see God present in all kinds of stories, doing miraculous things, changing a lot of people's lives. But what I'm going to do this morning is share a story with you in which I believe God demonstrates a tremendous amount of grace and gives us now, on this side of the grave, purpose as to why it's empty. I want to share a story with you. The Spirit of God was moving at this particular time. Many people were coming to faith in Jesus. He had begun his ministry. He was performing miracles. He was changing lives. And some things had happened, some things had transpired in which Jesus had to leave a place called Judea. He was going back to Galilee. He was tired because of the journey. He was a little worn out. And along the way, he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. He was there, just outside of town, there was a well called Jacob's Well. And Jesus showed up at the well, little worn out, and he sits down at the well to get a drink. At this particular point in the story, he sent his disciples on to town to get some food. Do you ever you ever get tired of kids? Can we just be honest, parents? Was that rude? You know what I mean, moms and dads? Like, man, you just wore out. Like, you really wish there was a well at the house. Do you ever like, man, we're not going to be the TV people. We're not going to be parents that do the iPads or whatever. But you're just worn out, mom and dad. And you're like, hey, why don't you go watch a movie? Like, go to the playroom, watch a movie, and while you're at it, take your sister, right? I think that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He was tired. They were just causing all kinds of ruckus. And he was like, go on to town, get some food, all of you. He didn't need all 12 to go get food. He was tired. Tired of listening to him. Go on, get to town, get some food. And he's sitting there at the well. But church, let me say this. We're going to get to it in just a moment. There was a purpose for Jesus showing up at that well. It wasn't by accident. So he's sitting there at the well, tired. Really deep well. There's nothing to get the water out of the well with at the time. And here comes a woman from town, an outcast. You see, it was about noon. Nobody got water at noon. Everybody got water in the morning and at night. But she had to show up at noon because she was an outcast because of the sin that she was in, because of the life she was living. She knew that she showed up at breakfast time where everybody would be talking about her. So she shows up there about noon, hoping to come to the well in peace, not have to talk to anyone. But you see, there was Jesus. And he was sitting at the well, I believe, waiting on her. He knew. She showed up at the well, and he looked at her, and he said, I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink? And she said, me? Why are you asking me for a drink? A Samaritan woman. You see, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't talk. They didn't communicate. They didn't interact, much less get a drink from the same pot. They didn't hang out. And Jesus, he was a man. Jewish men weren't even supposed to talk to women, much less a Samaritan woman. And here we have a woman very known by the sin that she has been committing. And she was so outcast, she couldn't believe that this guy was even talking to her. He says, I want a drink. They enter into a really wonderful conversation. We're going to read it in just a second, word for word. They enter into this conversation. I can't imagine everything they talked about. We just get a glimpse of the interaction. And to paraphrase, make it real short, Jesus says, I can provide you water in which you'll never be thirsty again. And it took her off guard. She really didn't understand what was going on, what was happening, what he was saying. She said, how can you provide something greater than this well? This well has been providing water for people a long time, for animals for a long time. And he says, listen, you don't understand who you're talking to. If you understood who you were talking to, you would ask and I would provide. So they go on with this conversation back and forth. And ultimately she said, well, one day the Messiah is going to show up and he's going to explain all these things. And Jesus says this. He said, indeed, the Messiah is here and I am he. What he says, church. I'm he. He goes on to tell the lady everything she's ever done. She's overwhelmed with who she encountered, and she runs to town and shares with everyone of the Messiah in which she encountered. And what we see in this particular story is that many people came to Jesus because a lonely, lost sinner showed up at a well and met Jesus. Man. Incredible story of grace. Incredible story of a sovereign God coming after humanity. And what I want to do this morning is to give the empty grave purpose. So if you will, we're going to dive even further into this story. We're going to look and we're going to see what the grace of Jesus does for you and I. So what I want you to do, I want you to write this down. If you're a note taker, highlight it. Easter notes, right? Easter notes. The first thing I want you to write down is that his grace, Jesus' grace, always has a purpose. The grace of Jesus has a purpose. I want to repeat that, church. The grace of Jesus always has a purpose. Always has a meaning. And I would say, I would go even further, not just one meaning, not just one purpose, but a multitude of purposes. He's coming after you and I for a purpose. Do you believe that, church? He's got a purpose. John chapter 4, here's where we're going to dive into the story, and you're going to get to see it for yourself. John chapter 4, we're going to read 1 through 6. It says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village, Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. There's so much speculation on why Jesus left Judea, okay? We need to understand that today. There's a lot of speculation. John doesn't go into a whole lot of detail. And because he doesn't go into a whole lot of detail, our minds begin to wonder, what was going on in which Jesus had to leave? Well, was Jesus fleeing Judea because he was scared? No. Well, was Jesus leaving Judea because the Pharisees were applying a lot of pressure and he felt threatened by them? Absolutely not. He's the King of Kings, church. He's not scared. Well, was Jesus leaving Judea because he didn't want the ministry of John the Baptist to be tarnished? Maybe so. Like, we don't know. There's all kinds of possibilities surrounding why Jesus left Judea. But what we see in this story, church, is that I can without a doubt point to one specific reason why he left Judea, and that was the lost woman at the well. Jesus left knowing full well that when he showed up there, a lost sinner was going to be coming for water. You see, the grace of Jesus, church, I want you to hang on to this, always has a purpose. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. Jesus doesn't waste steps. Jesus always has a purpose. And in this story, it was her. Can you believe that? Can you fathom that? I want you to think about that for a moment. We're going to go back to John chapter 3 to give Jesus some validation. John chapter 3, 34 and 35. This is right before this story picks up. It says, for he is sent by God, Jesus. He speaks God's words. For God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. Jesus was in control of the entire situation. At first glance, when you look at the story, you may think, well, he was tired, he was thirsty, he was fleeing, he had to go there, he had to get a drink of water, and just by happenstance, here comes this lady. Listen to me, church. There is no happenstance when it comes to the grace of Jesus. It has a purpose. He was coming after this woman, and I want us to think about that just for a moment, what really took place in this story. The God of heaven wanted her, and he paused everything and said, Jesus, go get her. His grace has a purpose. Can I ask a question? I want you to think about it for a second. Why are you here? Why are you here today? I know why you're here. But do you know why you're here? God's grace has a purpose. This past Wednesday night has quickly become one of my favorite nights here at Holland Chapel that we do. If you weren't a part of that, let me share with you what happened. We as a church gathered across the street for a good old-fashioned fellowship. Who doesn't like a little food and conversation? Amen? It's a good time. God's people gathered. But in that moment, we said, we're gonna put some purpose behind the gathering. And everyone that ate and gathered, we broke up after dinner, and we prayed over today. We prayed over the kids' area,
That all the kids that came in today would hear the gospel of Jesus. And God, we begged him to move in the hearts of the little kids, that he would draw them to himself. But we didn't stop there. We went to the parking lot. We prayed for spaces out there. God, we pray for the family that shows up in the parks right here, that they would, for one, be welcomed and smiled at. I mean, felt welcomed here at Holland Chapel. But when they came in, they would find the people of God worshiping God, and that they would hear the gospel. And not just hear the gospel, but they would respond to the gospel. Then we came into this room and we prayed over chairs. We prayed over the songs. We prayed over technology. We prayed over you. I can say that without a doubt, because my 9-year-old little girl was right here and she prayed that Sunday morning God would bring more sons and daughters to himself. Listen to me. God's grace has a purpose. And you're that purpose. You're here for a reason. God doesn't waste time. Jesus doesn't waste steps. His grace has a purpose. And in the story, it was the woman at the well. Today, it's you. God has a purpose, and you're it. Make sure you don't miss it this morning. Next thing I want you to write down about this story is that his grace is relational. The grace of Jesus is relational. Do you believe this morning, church, that the God of heaven wants a relationship with you? That was weak sauce. Do you believe, church, that the God of heaven wants a relationship with you? Yes. Let me hear you, balcony. Yes. Y'all are checking out up there. Do you believe God's grace wants a relationship with you? Yes. Believe it. But some of you in here today have trouble believing that. Why? Because you look at your own life, you look at the sins that you're committing, and you're being tricked by the evil one into thinking that a holy God in heaven would never want a relationship with you. You don't have to have a preacher stand up here on Sunday morning and tell you that you're a sinner. You already know. And you think, there's no way that Jesus wants a relationship with me. I would argue with that. And I would say, absolutely, Jesus wants a relationship with you. Let's look at the story again, John chapter 4, 7 through 9. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Think about this. Jesus was already there when she showed up. God was pursuing her. God paused everything. You hearing me, church? He paused everything for her. And he will stop everything for you. Well, why is this story such a big deal? Why is Jesus interacting with the Samaritan woman such a big deal? We've already touched on it briefly. But Jews had no interaction with Samaritans. Jewish men had no interactions with women. Sinners didn't come and hang out with saints. That's just not what happened. And Jesus in this moment said, "I don't care. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how many sins you've committed. I just want you." And guess what, church? Jesus says the same about you. His love, his grace knows no barriers. There's not too many sins that he cannot forgive. He knows no barriers. He knows no hurdles. He knows no language. He knows no color. He's coming after all of us. He wants a relationship with you. Man, that's gracious, isn't it, church? So you may have come in this morning thinking, there's no way on Easter Sunday God wants anything to do with me. Wrong. He wants a relationship with you. If he came after her, he'll come after you. What we need to understand about this story of the Samaritan woman is she is us. You understand that, right? She may have been a serial adulterer, had trouble in the relationship department, but listen to me, church, I don't care what you've done. We're just like her. We're all sinners. And we all desperately need the grace of Jesus to pursue us in relationship. The story does so much. It proves to us that Jesus will tear down every barrier that you've built up in your mind to keep you from him. He's coming after you. Jesus' grace is relational. He wants to have a relationship with you. Do you want to have a relationship with him? Third thing I want you to write down about this story is that his grace, the grace of Jesus, hear me out, is superior. Superior. It's supreme. Let's look. John chapter 10, or John chapter 4, 10 through 14. Here's the dialogue. Jesus replied, if you only knew, the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, you see, at this moment, she still didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. You see, church, ultimately she figured it out, and Jesus saved her. Like, she had to be persuaded. Eventually, Jesus said, listen, I'm the Messiah, and you're talking to him. And he changed her life. He saved her. But for a moment, she didn't believe. She couldn't see that what he was offering was greater than what the world could offer. I believe her heart and soul was constantly longing for satisfaction and fulfillment. That's why she had this issue with relationships. She was constantly searching for satisfaction, for the hole in her heart to be filled. But what we see about the sin that she was committing is quite obviously it wasn't working. Jesus goes on to tell her everything she'd ever done. That's a little heavier than I remembered it. So she brings a pitcher to a well, desiring water. And Jesus says, what I can provide is superior to water. It'll never run dry. You see, this morning, you may have come in here not even realizing that you're empty. Not even realizing that you need Jesus. Well, I would say to that person who thinks, nah, I'm good. I don't need Jesus. I got everything that I need. Really? Because we have a tendency at 2 a.m. when we're stressed, we're anxious, we're worried to just do this, don't we? Looking for fulfillment, looking for satisfaction. We turn to all sorts of things. whether it be alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs, drama. Some people just feed off drama. Drama gives them value. Some people go through relationships. They struggle. Can I find my satisfaction in a person? Can I find my satisfaction in a thing? Listen to me. All of those things will run dry. All of those things will leave you empty inside. The only thing that can fulfill, the only thing that can give you water that will never run dry is Jesus. He's it. She was searching for everything, and it was leaving her unsatisfied time and time and time again. And Jesus said, if you only knew who you were talking to. Do you know Jesus? Have you come to him for satisfaction? Have you come to him to fill the void? Have you come to him? He'll satisfy. You see, Jesus lived a perfect life. And he had to die a horrific death on the cross. And he had to come out of that grave. He had to leave it empty so that you and I could be satisfied. Do you trust in Jesus? Let's go to John chapter 3, 36. Right before we get into this story, this is what the Word of God says. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. I want to read that again. Anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. There's two choices. Jesus or not. It's real simple. Have you trusted in him? Do you believe in his story? Do you believe in the gospel? What do I mean when I say that? Do you believe in the life of Jesus? Do you believe that he really is the Son of God? Do you believe that he lived a perfect, sinless life on this earth? Do you believe that he gave himself up on the cross for you and for me? And then do you believe that Easter Sunday really was a Sunday that happened in history when Jesus came out of the grave? Do you believe it? Scripture says, if you believe in him, confess your sins, turn to him in faith, you will be saved. And listen to me. Are you listening? God has a purpose for you being here. It was no accident. You think you're here to take Easter pictures? Wrong. Jesus wanted you here so that you would be faced with the opportunity on whether or not to trust him. Will you trust him on Easter Sunday? Will you believe in him and have the eternal water that'll never run dry? Let me pray for you. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the story of Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for this story in Scripture of a lonely, lost sinner having an encounter with the Holy God. That this story, it brings us hope. We can see your grace on display. God, we're overwhelmed by that, that you would desire a relationship with us. I'm overwhelmed that the multitude of sins that I have, you can forgive not just one, but all. So God, I pray for the one that's in here today, that's here on Easter Sunday, because that's just what you do on Easter Sunday. You come to church. I pray for the one that may not have wanted to be here, that they're here to make a spouse or a mom or a grandma happy, to take the pictures, that really has no intention of having an encounter with you. I pray that you move in their heart. pray that you would let them know that your grace has a purpose and it's coming after them in relationship. And that everything that you provide is far superior than anything they could pursue in this life. And I pray that today, on Easter Sunday, would be the day that they turn to you. Let them come to you, Lord. Change their heart. God, we praise you for loving us enough to send your Son to die on a cross so that we could have salvation. Thank you, God, for Jesus. We ask everything in his precious and holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me, church? Listen to me, I don't desire to make anyone feel uncomfortable or awkward. Please hear me. That's not my desire. But if you walked in here today, lost and distant and lonely and drowning in your sin, you heard the gospel. You heard that Jesus loves you. You heard that Jesus can forgive you. You heard that Jesus can provide you something that will never run dry, that will always satisfy. So I want to pose a question to you. Will you come to him? Will you come to Jesus? In just a moment, some pastors, it's limited up here, but I'm totally okay if we get crowded up front. There'll be some pastors up here. And if you are lost, don't be offended by that term. If you are distant from Jesus and you do not have a relationship with him, we would love to have a conversation with you. But here's the deal. It's going to take you moving. It's going to take you stepping out of the aisle and coming down here. Listen to me. If you can't boldly make a move for Jesus in here where you're going to be applauded, where will you make a move for Jesus? Don't let the awkwardness, don't let, what are people going to think? They're going to look at me. Don't let that stop you. If Jesus is calling you, come to him. Come to him. And hear me, saints in the room that have full confidence in their salvation. You too can come down front and pray for the lost souls this morning. We learned in point number one that God does not waste a moment, that his grace has a purpose. Take advantage of the purpose right now and pray for the lost in this room. But regardless of where you're at, I want you to do this. I want you to respond to Jesus in some way. We're going to sing. We're going to praise him because he lives. But if you're lost and you want to know how to have a relationship with Jesus, come on down here and grab one of us. We would love to point you to Jesus. Let's respond to him this morning.